Thoughts on Haggai. Haggai chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Disappointment explained. Disappointment explained. Let me read the chapter, the verses to you. Beginning at Haggai chapter 1 and verse 9. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops, I called for a drought on the fields, and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine, the oil and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labour of your hands. Disappointment, yes. And it must have been disappointing to Jew. This is an agricultural society. It depends absolutely their economy, their sustenance, their wealth on the land and the crops and the animals and so on. And it's utterly failed. But that disappointment to them, that grief, that loss is explained. Judah's hopes on a return to the land had been high, but it failed. The wheel had fallen off. There was disappointment on it. Crop failure, drought. As I say, the agriculture, their economy had collapsed. And so they came into grief and sadness and pain and depression. Why? Well, the climate wasn't right. Or there was this problem. No, there may have been these secondary issues. But God explains the cause of their trouble. And it's this. I had, said God, taken a hand in this. I saw what you were doing. I saw why you were putting self first. Your house is before my temple. And it was self, not me. It's your house is not the temple. You were putting me second, if anywhere at all. And therefore, I brought you ruin. You put yourself first. And that spelled ruin for you. I brought it on you. I made sure. I brought these pests. I brought this crop failure. I said the drought. This is the teaching here. Because Israel had forsaken God, he was bringing home to them the cost of their disobedience and the penalty for their sins. Now, that's the history. How do we come to today with us? Well, the prosperity gospelers, of course, and people who are lax about the covenants just move straight from the old covenant to the new and make a direct application to believers today. But there's been a dramatic change in covenant from old to new. There's a great discontinuity. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and so on. I won't go over all that now again, but that's the important thing. We must be careful when we apply this. But there is a general principle here. Israel, if they will go into idolatry, self is idolatry. Luther said self is the great pope. Yes, self is idolatry. There's more to idolatry than totem poles and gods, Hindu gods. This is the word of God to Israel, and it's the word of God to us. From Adam to today, idolatry to the last day, idolatry will be with us. It's in the West today, and if we will go after idols, if we will have our own schemes and plans and ways and put self first, the evangelicals, is whether Rome or Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, any and every one of us, evangelicals, this is the word for us, we have to bear this very strongly in mind. This was Israel. This was Judah, of all people. Judah. And God was withholding the blessing from them. We need to be warned. We need to examine our ways. God must still be number one. This is the point. My friend, we're sowing much and reaping little. And what we're reaping begs the question in many cases. We need to look very seriously to our ways. We need to consider our ways. God must always be first. Unbeliever, that is the point. I desire your salvation for your sake, your benefit, your everlasting salvation. but above all for the glory of God in that salvation. May these things have a lodging in our hearts and a coming out in our lives and experience.